This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy Worship Team. Like I said, my name's Julie, and I'm your host. I'm so glad to be here today. It's quite an honor not just to be able to have a podcast and share what I know, but to be able to have gone through some of the things in my life and process to learn things in order to share. So I'm just excited. I'm glad to be here. I hope that the words that I bring, the encouragement that I bring, the direction or coaching that I bring is something that is helpful and beneficial to you. If it has been, I would love it if you would follow me on social media, if you'd follow me on whatever platform you're streaming from. And you can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com and ask me any questions or give me any comments or anything you want to hear specifically. I'd love to hear from you. I've enjoyed all the feedback that I've gotten so far. So today I want to continue with a series about unhealthy mindsets. We went through the first one, which was like powerlessness of there's nothing we can do to change our situation. And then the second one was comparison or not having like, I don't have enough. And so this week we're going to talk about the unhealthy mindset of who cares or it's good enough. Okay, so we're just going to get straight into it. So here's the deal. Here's the catch 22. In church ministry, we have this problem. And the thing is that we don't do things exactly like the world does them, right? Like this is the kingdom of God. This is the body of Christ. And so what does it look like in the world? In the world, we have these impossible standards. Everything is up to us. Nothing is ever good enough. And there's this perfectionism and striving. And we don't want our teams and our service to God to look that way. We do not want our teams to look like we're never good enough. We're never gonna measure up. That is not a perspective or a source for service. That's not from God. But on the other side of this problem is there is an unhealthy mindset that will say, you know what? We're all family. Who cares what, you know, if there's a plan or not a plan, like we'll come together, we'll figure it out. It's all going to be great. Everybody loves me and knows me and I love them and I know them. And so it's not a big deal if things aren't as put together or prepared or excellent as maybe they would be in a like much more professional setting. And so there's this heart behind it that wants to be to say like, God looks at our heart. He doesn't look at the outside. Only man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. So I'm not going to put any effort into presenting something, whether it's a worship set or even a rehearsal for your team, whether it's presenting your own leadership to the church and how you lead worship. There's this attitude, can be an attitude of, you know what, it's good enough. It's okay if I didn't if I didn't take that extra time to prepare, because if I take extra time to prepare, that might mean that I'm scared of what people think of me, or, I only care about what I look like or sound like or appear to people instead of God's heart, like God looking at my heart. And so that's just couldn't be farther from the truth. I think that there's a third way. I think that that is actually the same issue as the never being good enough. It's the same spectrum. On one end, it's I'll never work hard and I'll never work enough to achieve approval. And on the other end is I'm so scared of people thinking that I need approval that I can't put any effort in, or people are going to think that's what's happening. And so I don't know if that makes sense to you, but what I'm trying to get at is that there's actually a way that we function where we bring our very best to God, and because of his love for us and because of our identity in him, when we bring our best to him, that is what he asks of us. He doesn't hold us to an impossible standard. He holds us to, what did I ask you to give? So I just want to go through a couple things that cause us to give less than our best. Okay. And also I want to narrow in on what that looks like and really qualify that, because when I'm talking to a worship team, and when I'm training my worship team, what I have to teach them is what are the standards for how we're going to present ourselves on Sunday morning. I'm going to teach them what the expectations are for how we prepare for practice and for a Sunday morning. I'm going to explain standards of excellence, but instead of talking to the team right now, I want to talk to the worship leaders. Okay. So I want you to think about it in terms of what you're actually bringing, not what your team is bringing. Because like I've said in almost every single episode, it's too easy for us to look at our team and how they're not meeting our expectations. It's too easy to do that and not recognize where you're actually falling short in this area. Because like I've said, you cannot build a culture, you just are. Your culture is what you are. And so if you're seeing a lack of excellence or you're seeing an attitude of, oh, it's no big deal, this is good enough, it's fine. Everybody knows my heart. So the reason why you're seeing that in your team is because you're allowing it in your own life. I say that with all the grace in the world. It's also just a good reminder, like just full transparency. This thing, like I'm a pretty hard driving person. I get excited. I want to do my very best. There are certain things that I always want to bring my best, but I'm always going to lean towards relaxing and chilling and saying, what's the least I can do in order to do an acceptable job? And so these types of reminders, they're just really good for me on a regular basis. And the fact that I need to hear it every 3 to 4 to 6 months and remind myself to be really diligent and do my very best whenever I bring my heart to something, that doesn't mean that I'm a horrible person. It means I'm human and that I need to keep developing and sharpening that. So I don't receive that as condemnation to know that my tendency is going to be to relax and to like say, oh, everybody understands if I don't do my very best, or God understands if I don't do my very best. To realize that I need that reminder is a good thing, and I just go ahead and remind myself, and I get around people who encourage me to do better and to focus and to bring my very best. I surround myself with those people so that I can keep bringing my very best instead of avoiding that, or like being like, I'm so embarrassed that I struggle with timeliness sometimes that I can't even talk, like I can't even be around people who are really on time, or I can't hear any feedback on that. No, I know what my tendencies are, and I know that that's something that continually has to be touched on and sharpened and reminded and all of those things. So I'm in the same boat. This is an attitude. This is a mindset that I struggle with sometimes, especially once I feel like I've got handle on what's required of me, then I'm like, okay, now we can chill out. And now I'm just going to do what I know is going to get me by. So, okay. So here are a few things that cause us to bring less than our best. Number one is familiarity. Okay. So in smaller churches, and I'm going to say smaller church would be like a size from like, you know, anywhere from like 50 people up to like 150 people. If you're doing one service a Sunday, and around 150, 200 people, familiarity is something that is one of the benefits and the gifts of a smaller church, that you know people, that you know them quite well, that you know their families, that you know what's going on in their life. And that's just in defense of large churches, it's not impossible. It's just impossible for you to be that close to that many people. So you can still know people deeply and have deep relationship in larger churches, but it's going to be within small groupings within that church. And so you're going to have lots of groups of people that know each other well in larger churches. But in smaller churches, familiarity is a gift. And it's also one of the things that will weigh you down when it comes to taking the next step into leveling up your leadership, leveling up your excellence, leveling up your goals for church growth and worship excellence. Familiarity says, this is my friend that I've had forever. She totally knows my heart. She does not need me to explain why I was late. She does not need to have me come 10 minutes early. She already knows what I'm doing. She knew what I was doing yesterday. She knows my timeline. This is no big deal. Familiarity can also make you think kind of like in a family. You know how like everybody's on their best behavior when they're out in public and then they get home and everybody's like screaming at each other or whatever, you know, you feel the most comfortable to be yourself without any airs and graces when you're around family, right? Like you can be yourself, you can be upset, you can be mad, whatever it is. Once again, that's a gift. But also sometimes we presume upon that familiarity, and maybe there are points where you're like, wow, maybe I should have been a little bit more thoughtful about how that came across or how that affected someone. And growing up in the church that I have served in for my whole life almost, there were definitely some turning point moments in my leadership where I realized that I was no longer just a daughter of the house. I was no longer just a sister and a friend to many people there. But now I was responsible for leading and navigating forward in vision. And so my words and my effects and my attitude weren't just me telling people what I thought anymore. They were actually determining how people were going to interpret and understand vision and direction as we were moving forward. So I had to change how I was communicating to people that I had known extremely well, like sleepover well, like gotten in trouble by their parents really, really, you know, like I was corrected and chided by so many of these people that now I was responsible for actually leading them into new vision. And so the familiarity that I had to change a little bit. I had to realign the weight of my words and understand that I had to use a little bit more courtesy. Like, courtesy never hurt anyone, even in your closest relationships. Using courtesy, using respect, not asking questions that would be inappropriate to ask at certain times. Those are all things that you don't realize in smaller churches until you go to a new church or you see your church through the eyes of a new person. And here's the reason why this is super important. First of all, because this attacks our ability to be excellent. We don't bring our best when we think everybody is okay with less than our best. But when we start to recognize that they're worth my very best in terms of, as a leader, they're worth my preparation. They're worth my prayers. They are worth my my courtesy and good manners. It doesn't matter how well you know someone. Please and thank you never killed anyone. In fact, it still speaks volumes when my husband Chris and I, when we use kind words and polite words to each other. Of course, we know that we love each other, but also we're sharing the same bathroom. So to be able to use courtesy and kindness, even with our closest relationships, does not hurt it, and it doesn't make it less connected or feel like you're disconnected. It makes you, it helps one another. It adds value and communicates value to one another. But also, as you look forward, if you want your team to grow, that means new people are going to join your team, not just the people you've known for however many years. You are going to have new people join your team. And what does that mean? If every single person on that team has a version of shorthand and they say, oh, well, this is how we do that. And this is how we do that. And we always, you know, it's no big deal. We come 15 minutes late when you try to expect them to just jump into this thing, what you're asking them to do is to come in and join a family dynamic, basically, that's not excellent, that's not healthy. And it will not grow. People will come in, first of all, they'll feel out of place and like they don't belong when everything is super familiar with everyone else. And number two, you're actually putting a cap on how your team can grow if everything is at the level of overly familiar. Okay, so one of the things that causes us to bring less than our best is familiarity. Who cares? Their family. They understand my heart. I can act however I want. I can talk bad about people. I can show up late. I can come unprepared because they know my heart, right? Number two is no fear or honor of the Lord. Like, when we have that type of familiarity toward God, I'm trying to think of how that would bring any type of joy or respect to him for us to come in and just flop around and jump on the couch and kick our shoes off. And, you know, I mean, just imagine like your kids bringing friends over and they just come into your house and they rip the bag of chips open and they start flinging them everywhere and they turn on the TV and they're not even talking to you and they're trash the place. Like, what does that communicate? Now, do we want our family to feel comfortable when they come into our presence? Absolutely. But when has disrespect ever made you feel like you wanted to invite people over? So I want you to think about that when it comes to the people of God coming into God's presence. We come boldly before the throne of grace, but we do not come disrespectfully. And we certainly do not come with an attitude of entitlement that means that I get to set all the terms of how I come into his presence. That is, couldn't be farther from the truth. Scripture lays out process and order and honor all the way through from the Old Testament to the New Testament of how God wants to be engaged with, and also how we are to honor him and how we are to honor one another. And so when I bring more honor to the Lord, that does not make me feel more disconnected to the Lord. It makes me feel much, much more confident to come into his presence. So what does that look like? That means I prepare my heart beforehand, and I prepare my attitude beforehand before I even, and y'all, I'm not even talking about Wednesday or Sunday morning. I'm talking about rehearsal. Before I step into rehearsal, I want my heart and my attitude to be aligned, that I have been given stewardship over this team, over the time that we have to practice and to prepare, and I've been given a responsibility to lead my team and to help them get ready to lead the whole congregation into the presence of the Lord. So what do? I ask the Lord to guide me. I've already done my preparation. I already have my set list. That was a couple weeks before the service that I've set my list up so that my team can know what it is and have plenty of time to practice. And before rehearsal, I'm thinking about the practice. I'm praying for the team. I'm thanking God for the privilege that it is to lead them. I'm asking the Lord to help me to be connected to them and to recognize if there's a moment, a personal connection moment that needs to happen. I'm asking the Lord to be in charge of the decisions that need to happen while we're practicing, as we're kind of navigating through what that set is going to look like and feel like. I don't want that just to be a mental decision or a logical decision. I want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I want to bring the Lord the honor and the praise that he deserves. And so I'm going to apply that to every single part of the work. So having honor for the Lord is going to help me remember not to stop short of doing my very best. When I do not have that attitude, this is what happens. I rely on my gifting and I rely on my talent to carry me through. Okay, so some of my gifting, my natural leadership gifting, I can think on the fly really well. Like I like to make quick decisions. I like to get information and take that information and make a decision and move forward. And that works really, really great in plenty of situations. And it's much easier to do that when no one else is dependent upon my decisions. But when I am responsible for a whole entire team, I am not just making decisions for myself. I'm making a decision for the whole entire team. And on that team, I have a few people, depending on what the rotation is for the week, I have a few people that are hardcore veterans. They are skilled. I barely even have to say anything. We understand each other. We can read each other's minds. I have certain people who are just as skilled, but a little less confident, and are going to need a little bit more navigation and reassurance that they're on the right track. And then I also, because our team is constantly growing, I also have people who are very new to the team. And so if I make a change or a decision about something that's going on for that Sunday and I have not given them any forewarning, and they need to be part of that, they're responsible for doing something in that change, I am asking a lot of them to not give them a heads up on that beforehand, especially if I could have. So when I say I rely on my gifting, I'm saying, oh yeah, 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 we'll just feel it out. We'll figure out what song we're going to do on that Sunday, or we'll maybe change the key that day. Well, what about the person who has joined the team, who's a great musician, but they definitely need time to prepare ahead of time? Now I'm making them feel like they're not properly prepared by switching up the key on Thursday night before the Sunday rehearsal. And by relying on my talent, that's another thing. My main musical talent is vocals. I'm mainly a vocal leader. And so just saying, oh yeah, 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 we're going to do this super hard song and I'll just be the one to do it, right? Nobody else on the team can actually lead that song. How scalable is that to choose a song for the team that only one person could possibly lead? I feel like that actually sounds kind of egotistical, me saying that. But in terms of, you can look at your team and And think about that. If you've got someone that's just like crazy skilled, you know, an electric guitar player or whatever, and you're like, okay, well, he's the only person who can do it, so he's got to be up there every time we do the song. Start thinking about ways that you can make those decisions, first of all, that are best for the whole team. But then also, if you've got a song like that, figure out ways to scale those things so it's not just reliant on one person. So when I do not take in honor of the Lord, I rely on my own gifts and strengths to carry the team. And guess what? That is how you get burned out, leader. That is how you get burned out. By not honoring the Lord, by not bringing your best, and by thinking that you can just pull it together in your own strength, you've only got a handful of that, a handful of time acting that way before serving the Lord eats you up. It'll chew you up and spit you out. Another thing that keeps us from bringing less than our best is forgetting that we are accountable for how we serve and how we steward our time and our resources. You may have a, there's all types of leadership structures and styles. There may be senior leaders who are very, very hands-on. They want to be involved in every single decision. But I would say for the most part, and I could be wrong, and I'd love to hear y'all's input on this, but for the most part, a lot of senior pastors are just really, really grateful to have a worship leader who can handle that part of the service. Unless you've got a senior leader that has a background in worship and music and still struggles with letting that go and entrusting that to you, most leaders really trust their worship leaders. And so what does that mean? It means maybe there might be less oversight or less like accountability for like the amount of time that you spend on certain things, because there's a huge level of trust. And I appreciate when I feel trusted by my leaders in order to do those things, but also I always want to meet that trust with a high level of integrity, a very high level of integrity, that I would be able to account for my time. I'd be able to account for my budget. I'd be able to account for how I used my volunteer, like how I use the time that we asked volunteers to be part and make sure that that is in line with what the Lord would ask me to do. But also the thing is if you've got a senior leader that really, really trusts you and is just like, I love what you're doing amazing. Don't ever forget for one second that you are accountable to the Lord and you are accountable to your senior leader, especially if you're on staff, but you're also accountable to the Lord for how you steward that time and those resources. So if you are walking into your rehearsals and you're thinking you're just going to wing it and you haven't thought through the decisions that you're going to ask, like what you're going to ask your team for, you're not being a good steward of your time and resources by preparing ahead of time. Do your very best. Think through the rehearsal. Think through how you're communicating to your team. Don't ask them for something that, first of all, you haven't already done before. And do not ask them to do it within a period of time that would have made you feel uncomfortable at that point of your service career. Does that make sense? I want you to put yourself in their shoes and think, I'm a guy who works 40 hours a week in a big leadership position. I play guitar on Sundays. And now my leader is asking me to change keys, change the riff, change the stuff. And I didn't have time to prepare for that. Think about how that makes them feel. And if that makes them feel more or less confident in being able to do to fulfill their role in a good way. So I just want to leave you with this one scripture. And then that's what I've got for you today. So Colossians 3, 23 through 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So I just want to remind you guys, before you ever step onto that platform, there are many checkpoints in your week that you need to ask. I would invite you to ask yourself, am I doing everything as unto the Lord? Am I preparing for my rehearsals? Am I communicating to my team everything they need to know? Am I serving the vision of the church? Am I communicating with my senior leader and my staff members with kindness and courteousness? Am I thinking about the future and preparing to lead my team in that way? Or am I just hoping it'll all work out and not actually applying myself to learn what I need to learn. We're going to get more into some of this part of leadership, which is like everything that happens before you step on the platform and how else you can be good stewards of your time. But that's what I've got for you guys today. I want to thank you so much for listening. I hope that it's encouraging. I know that the words are very clear and pointed, but I hope you understand this is the kind of conversation that I need people to have with me. I'm grateful for it. And so that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to tell you what I wish somebody had told me and things that people have told me and helped me to grow and to become better. So like I said, if this has been encouraging to you, I would love it if you would follow me on whatever streaming platform. You can follow me on Instagram, The Healthy Worship Team, and you can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next time.